Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., actually in Georgetown Inn, in Georgetown, hard by to our nation's capital. I'm high atop the third floor of the Washington, of the Georgetown Inn, my favorite hotel maybe in the world. It's a good one. Chuck Martin is our guest, and he's a best-selling author and internationally known business strategist. He's the chairman and CEO of NFI Research. He's the author of Coffee at Luna's and a book I'm holding in my hand, Tough Management, becoming one of my favorite management books. Chuck, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
It's good to have you here. And, Chuck, over the last several months, you and I have been doing a little series on how to help our audience, how to help small business owners make those tough decisions a little bit better. And we've been going down through a list of some examples, and I think we're on number five this week, aren't we?
That's right.
Prove your value to the company. Now, who are we talking to here?
Well, pretty much anybody at work. What's happening is people at work, aside from having to make the tough calls and various things that we've discussed about tough management, they really don't necessarily know if they're doing the right thing at work. And what we're talking about in this chapter is really aligning with your company's values. So it's not just about going to work every day and doing your job. It's about understanding what it is that your company really values and then making sure that those are the kinds of things that you do at work every day so that you really are in sync with the organization.
Now, you've done this before, but I want you to do it again. A lot of people hear this word values mentioned. They read about it in books. They hear the story. Maybe they even hear their bosses talking about it. They may not quite know what people mean by that. Why don't you tell us what you mean when you talk about corporate values?
Okay, well, in a small business, actually any size business, when you work there, you know what really matters to the company. For example, in a company, some companies, they would consider themselves, say, a sales organization. And they really know that they value sales. That's what they're all about. So if you align with selling, whatever you're doing, no matter what you're doing in your job, but you focus on that you understand that selling is the big thing in that organization, that's the value of the company. Other companies value, their highest cultural value might be advancing people in the organization. So everyone is all about getting other people the right tools to do their jobs, as you were talking about before, and the right training. And if you buy into that culture, then you are aligning with the values of that company. And everybody knows what the values of their company are. You have to be there to know it.
Is it possible that first value you mentioned could be so strong that the second one would not be possible?
That you mean that the people are not valued?
That the strategic value, like sales or profits or whatever, could be so strong that the other values, you know, like you were talking about putting people first, that kind of thing, that those actually have a hard time existing.
It is possible, and if that's the case, you're probably at the wrong company.
Yeah,
that's not going to be a healthy company to work at.
Right.
And by aligning with your company's values, what's really interesting about it is you have to stop and give some serious thought to determine what is it that your company really values. And until you stop and think about it, it's not on any company brochure or it's not on the wall
right.
When you walk in. It's something that is sort of an unstated thing. And when you see a company that is providing daycare and all kinds of things like that for employees, you say, this is really a people kind of company. So if you say, well, the company really truly does value that, then that is the company value, and then you play into that role.
And a company can have a number of different values. They could have the sales value like you were talking about. They could value profits. Obviously, every business should value profits. But as you were saying, did they value their employees? Did they care about the lives of their employees? How do they feel about customers? Do they go the extra mile for customers? Do they do what they say they're going to do, or do they do what they have to do when they're made to do it?
Right. We do these surveys, as you know, of senior executives and managers nationwide. We ask, what is it that would make you more valued by your organization? And what people said, and this is unanimous, in order, number one, increase revenue, two, do more with less, three, increase profit, four, communicate more, and five, cut costs.
Let's talk about those issues and some more about the way you can prove your value to your company and help your employees do the same thing. Right after these messages, we'll be right back with our good friend Chuck Martin. He's the author of Tough Management. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 20 till.
Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care. Though you keep on saying you really, really, really love me.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes on Sunday by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And we also have a blog there on the homepage. You can link to it from the homepage, or you can go directly there by going to jimsblog.biz. And don't forget all the other great things you can do there, like listen to the past interviews that Chuck Martin and I have had on how to make those tough management decisions. Right now we're talking about how to prove your worth to your company, your value, I should say, to your company. And, Chuck, you were telling – well, one thing I'd like to point out is that companies – I should say when employees are polled about why they left the last company they worked for, or the company they're maybe leaving now, they never say – the number one reason why people leave is never compensation. It's always about whether – it's always about whether they felt valued, or it's about whether their values aligned with the company, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. Although there's also some question about exit interviews, because everyone is always trained, especially as they move up in their career, never to burn a bridge. So typically what you say on an exit interview is, well, I'm really going because I have a great opportunity, whatever, it's positive for the next thing. And what's sort of between the lines is I wasn't getting that here, and that gets back to the value.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say the other thing about values is when you start to deal with from a business standpoint, when you're dealing with your customers, you should be dealing with things that basically people can't see. You should be telling things to customers that they can't see, because there's much more value in things that you can't see, what I call invisibles, as opposed to physical things that people buy, which are essentially commodities. When you're selling a physical thing, a hard good, whatever it is, that thing can be somebody else can create it for cheaper. So you're always going to be really pressed on what to sell. When you're selling invisibles,
those are commodities, aren't they?
Absolutely. Those are the things you manufacture. When you're selling something like service, what's the value of that? Well, I actually have broken that down into five categories of invisibles that you can see. One is peace of mind. That's when you go into Best Buy in Circuit City and they say you buy something for a couple hundred dollars and they say, do you want the 5-year extra warranty? That's what they're really selling.
Right.
That's, of course, all their profit. But you buy that because you're basically buying peace of mind.
Right.
Futures is another invisible. You buy cell phone service. What you're really buying is the future to use that stuff sometime later. That's what you pay for every month. You're paying for time later. I mean, you're buying time, which is a wild concept.
Mm-hmm.
Rights, when you buy cable and satellite television fees, you're buying the rights to see something, which doesn't mean you're going to watch it, but you have the rights to do it.
You got fair use of that content.
That's exactly right. Number four, ideas, basically consulting services. That's what they're selling. They're selling ideas and thinking, intellectual property. And the fifth one is dreams. That's why people buy lottery tickets. So those are five things that people sell that you cannot see, but they're worth basically whatever the buyer perceives that they are worth, which really could be a large amount of money or whatever.
And these are the things that we should be talking to our employees about?
Well, those are values that a company should have in terms of how they deal with their customers, so that when you start to deal with your customer, it shouldn't be that we're selling great shoes or great whatever you know, cans, whatever you're making, doesn't really matter. That you're really selling that we stand behind it, which you can't see that. That's insurance, customer service, can't see that. Customer satisfaction, can't see that. That those are the kinds of things that companies should be, executives at companies should be drilling into their employees. That's what we're here all about. What we're all about here, in the product that we're selling. So the product we're selling becomes secondary, and it becomes quality. I mean, you can't see quality, but that's an extremely high value. So those are the sorts of things. Pardon me.
And the thing is that this what you just said is the only way small businesses will be successful in the 21st century, because we can't fight a price war. We can't fight the commodities war. We can't out-deliver product lines, quantities, you know, a scale. We can't replicate that, because and we shouldn't. What we should be replicating is all the things that you said, and I'll tell you, if we do it right, Chuck, what all of those things that you just said, how they're delivered, they wind up in the prettiest little package that customers think of. That, and when they think of that package, they put a label on it that says special. These people are special. They make me feel special.
That's exactly right. Even though you might be able to buy the product for a little less money somewhere else, you won't.
Maybe a lot less.
But they
may not care.
That's right. And the small business has a great advantage in that arena, because the small businesses can do that much better than the big businesses can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how, as my friend Peter Meyer says, that's how small businesses can dominate with their brands. Not
that's
just
exactly right.
With their brands, but dominate with their brands. You got to believe that, though, folks. Chuck Martin and I will be right back after these messages. It's 10 till. Here's Tony Williams of the Platters to take us out.
Something here inside cannot be denied.
It's getting near dawn. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend Chuck Martin. He's the author of Tough Management. He's also the author of Coffee at Luna's, which is a business fable. And Chuck, we desperately need to know where to find you online and a little bit more about your company.
Okay, anyone can join our institute. Actually, it's free, and you basically then get our surveys every 14 days. We do a 30 or 40 second survey. We're nationwide, and then we give everyone the results for free. I use the results in my books later. But it's www.nfiresearch.com, like NFI, like Net Future Institute, nfiresearch.com. And anyone can email me directly at chuck@nfiresearch.com.
Can we see some of the surveys that you've already conducted on your website?
We don't really share it with the public, although I have a syndicated column. So on my website, you can actually go and under news, you'll see all the columns that I run. And these columns have run nationwide every week for years now. And I write columns about the surveys.
All right.
But if any of your listeners want the surveys, if they send me an email directly, I will personally send them a PowerPoint of our last year's research.
All right, I like that. I appreciate that. And they can just send you an email and request it.
Absolutely, and we'll just ship it out same day. Not a big deal.
Give us that email address again.
It's chuck@nfiresearch.com. So Chuck at NFI, like Net Future Institute, nfiresearch.com.
And the books are available wherever books are sold, right?
Absolutely. Barnes & Noble, Borders, Walden Books, Amazon, everywhere.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So we're talking about value. demonstrating your value to your company. What's the next thing we need to know, Chuck?
Well, we ask people what are their top executive skills that they need to be successful today and in the future. And the number one skill, this is 94% of respondents, which is an astounding number. So almost everybody said the top skill they're going to need is the ability to communicate well, then stay focused, then collaborate with others, which is basically work with others,
right,
and get them to work with you. The other thing we said, what about working away from
the office? Were you surprised at that number?
I'm always surprised when the number is that high. Often in our, because we do so many surveys, we'll get 60-70% as the number one thing. But 94% thing, that's almost total unanimity that everyone is saying communication is key. And we've seen this in other similar surveys we've done where communication is really the critical thing in business today.
You wouldn't get 94 if you ask everybody in the world if they like ice cream.
That's right. or vanilla or chocolate or whatever.
Yeah. All right. And what was the other one? You were about to say another one.
Staying focused. People are getting distracted all over the place, and we know that. And everyone at work knows that you're so distracted just because so many things going on. We do know from past research that people are most productive before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m., and they are least productive between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Wow. That's a lot of unproductive time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So between 11 and 2, people should go do something else.
They're thinking about going to lunch and they're recovering from lunch.
They should probably be taking a two-hour lunch hour or actually going to visit some customers or spending some time with employees.
So what you're saying is half the rest of the world that actually closes their business up in the middle of the day, they actually got it right.
Yes. I'm not sure closing the business is the right idea, but that's when the least productivity time is happening. So that's a really good time to go around when communication is the biggest thing to be successful. Go around. That's where you should be doing your communicating and your listening, not just talking.
Hmm. So don't have your meetings at 8 o'clock. Have your meetings at 11 o'clock.
That would also be a good idea because then you could in fact be productive. Although you might find people who are zoned out at that time.
All right, we got 30 seconds. One more.
Okay. A big thing, since you're in the radio business, I thought you'd love this. We ask people what they do while commuting to work, because a lot of people work at home, then a lot of people commute, obviously. The number one thing people do while commuting to work is they listen to the radio.
God bless them, everyone.
Number two, they think. Three, use the phone. Four, relax. Five, work. And six, read, in order.
Read, huh? That's kind of dangerous. Well, you know, I'd like to think that they could listen to the radio and think at the same time. And I know when they do, when they listen to you and me, when they listen to you on my show, I know that they're listening to the radio and thinking because you help us do that. Chuck Martin, give us that website one more time.
Okay, www.nfiresearch.com.
Thank you, Chuck, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Always a pleasure.
Chuck Martin, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes. Small business owners, this is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.